Yeah. Are we good? We good? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. All right, we have to show, can you pull that church bulletin thing up just briefly? Okay, so I have to start. Do you have that church bulletin thing? Oh gosh. Okay, so these are some true mistakes in church bulletins. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. These are real misprints in church bulletins. Okay, next. This evening at 7 p.m., there will be hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. What does that have to do with anything? At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Oh my gosh. Okay, I think this is the last one. Potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and medication to follow. I mean, if you've ever been, oh, forget it. Sometimes we really should be prepared after our potlucks. All right. I don't know what that had to do with anything. I just thought it was funny. So my name is Mike Souder, and I'm privileged to be one of the pastors at Grace Covenant. I'm married to Mercy Souder right here. And we have three kids, Emmett, who's 14, Jude is 12, and Eva is 8. So I'm happy to be with you guys. This is my first Sunday with an opportunity to share, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. This is week three. Today is week three of a sermon series discussing the person of the Holy Spirit. We're calling the series, It's Better This Way, because Jesus, right before he left, he told his disciples, It's better that I go. Those were his words. It's better that I go so I can send you the Holy Spirit. In the first week, JJ defined the Holy Spirit as not an it, but a person, as one of the three parts of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Last week, we talked about the Spirit as not something to be afraid of, but rather something to comfort us. And I think that is one of the biggest strategies of the enemy, is to make us weirded out about this whole thing of the Spirit, or to have some bad experience or two so that we kind of check out whenever people talk about the Spirit, which is the complete opposite of the purpose of the Spirit, who's come to guide us and comfort us. So today we're going to talk about the Spirit as one who gives us strength to live the life God intended. Let's pray, and then we'll start. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here with us. I pray that you would give us revelation today to know you more, to experience you more, and to be transformed into the people you created us to be in the first place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me give you an example of the power of the Spirit that is my testimony. So starting out with my experience with being, first time I would say I was filled with the Spirit. So I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were part of a church plant in northern Pennsylvania. My dad was an elder in the church, interim pastor. And so I knew this thing. I knew how it was supposed to work. A lot of you have been there, right? But I got bored, you might say. And I got disinterested, and I lived a pretty reckless lifestyle. Actually, the more I think about it, it's no small miracle that I'm alive. I can think of multiple times I should have died. But God spared my life. And so But it got worse and worse. If you've ever walked away from God at all or not been walking with God, you know you just keep getting farther and farther off into the weeds. No pun intended. So I actually didn't think of saying that until it came to mind. So I get to this dark place in college. It's one of those, who knows how you find yourself here, but I'm living in a dump, in a bad place in town in college. And I'm living with these guys, and we decide to start raising our own marijuana. I don't know, cheaper, whatever. So we transplant this marijuana up into the state game lands, similar to National Forest. Could have been a dangerous thing, but I didn't want it on our family farm for some reason. And that was just one picture of where my life was at that point. I was 21 years old. So around that time, I started dating my wife, now my wife, Mercy. And I was living in like two worlds. I wanted what the church had, because in the church, there was this. There were people who loved me, people who were kind to me. I somehow experienced the presence of God in worship. But it just wasn't enough. So I lived over here too. But one day, I was in the service at our little country church, which I had been in all 21 years of my life, and I was sitting with Mercy. We had been dating like a month, I guess. And there's this guy preaching, and he's talking about integrity and living the same way every day. And I was so overcome with this sense of how messed up my life was, that I was always trying to hide and spin everything everywhere I was. It was exhausting. And so at one point, I grabbed Mercy's hand. I was like, we got to get out of here. And we leave the church, and she's like, where are we going? I said, I have to do something right now. And we drive up to my parents' house, and I go in the garage, and I get a machete and come out to the car, and she's like, what is going on here? I'm like, don't distract me. I have to do something. And we drive up into the mountains, and I follow this trail, and I get into this patch in the woods, and I chop down all my marijuana. Now, marijuana will be legalized at some point. But for me, this was a breakthrough. This was a massive breakthrough. Because I sat there on my knees, and I'm weeping, and I'm like, finally delivered from something that I just couldn't get out of. It was like, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it was like, as much as I tried, I couldn't get free from it. It's God's power that enables us to have power to live right. The best part about that story is the guy who was preaching. Not a powerful preacher, not a powerful person. Not someone I looked up to or probably would have looked up to if I knew him. Not someone I ever had met before or trusted. All of that makes it all the more powerful that it was clearly a work of the Spirit in and through that person. So that's the day that I believe something was passed on to me, filled me. I believe that was the day where I was filled with the Spirit. I didn't know it at the moment, but looking back, as I look back and I realize this domino effect of change in my life, that's when it all started. I suddenly had the power to live different. I wasn't just a victim to whatever I was feeling that morning. And so the point is that real change, real sustainable power to change, and the peace and the joy we're all desperate for along with it, the only way we're going to get it is through the power of the Spirit. If you survey the word Spirit in your Bibles, if you just look through your Bibles and look at all the references to the Spirit, you'll see that the Spirit was always coming onto the scene to empower people. Actually, the very first thing is in Genesis 2. The Spirit is hovering over creation and forms creation out of nothing, out of total chaos. But then the Spirit starts coming on specific people for specific purposes, in specific times, always to empower them. the master craftsman for the tabernacle, Bezalel, was filled with the Spirit of God to design and build. I used to be in construction. I think if I ever go back into construction, I'll call it Bezalel Builders. This guy, Gideon, self-identified himself as the least in his family and from the weakest clan until the Spirit filled him, and he basically becomes like a five-star Marine general. Joshua, Samson, Saul, David, Ezekiel, one after another, were filled with the Spirit to do incredible things. If you read the prophecies in the scriptures, we see that one day all of God's people were going to get this. It was no longer going to be just like you or you. It was going to be all of us. Ezekiel heard from the Lord, "I will put a new spirit in my people." The prophet Joel said, "There will come a day where I will pour out my spirit on everyone, men and women, young and old." And that day has come. God has given us his spirit, every one of us, that we might accomplish his purposes. Now, I can't tell you how many times I had tried to change before that big day in July 96, but I'll tell you, it was a lot. Anybody who's ever, if you've ever tried to quit something, anything, you know how exhausting it can be. And it's not just in the negative. If you've ever been longing for God to give you a breakthrough for some new thing, you know what I'm talking about. You have this longing for breakthrough. You weren't designed to get there on your own good thinking. In the same way, a person can go to church their whole life, but live without a relationship with God. I believe a person can be a Christian and live their whole life without power. Think about Jesus' disciples for a minute. The disciples had God with them for 3 years. God with a beard. Seriously, they have God with them, eating with them, drinking with them, laughing with them, hanging out with them, showing them how to fish. I bet you Jesus showed them how to do stuff with a chisel. I mean, he's showing them how to heal and deliver people for 3 years. And on the night before he's killed, think of this as like finals, final exam. What happens? One betrays him. They all deny him. After countless teachings about peace and how to treat your enemies, they try to kill the police, arresting him. And then they all run away. One guy runs away naked. But they got at least one thing right. They remembered Jesus' promise to wait for the Holy Spirit, which would come and give them power. And so they waited for about 2 months. And one day, what we call at Pentecost, the Spirit came upon them. And from that point on, they were unstoppable. Peter, this guy who we all know who denied Jesus 3 times, goes on to preach. And 3,000 people are baptized the same day. All the disciples become these brave rock star witnesses. All of them end up martyred except for John. So if 3 years, here's a question. If 3 years of walking with God in human form wasn't enough for the disciples, if they needed to wait for the Spirit to fill them, how would we think we could get away without it? All right, so how do we do that? How does this happen? How are we filled? It's a mystery. This whole thing I'm talking about today, it's a mystery, but it doesn't have to be super complicated. So it's going to be a little different for each of us. But I do believe in my study, in my experience, I believe there's a little bit of a process we can go through to get there. So without trying to oversimplify it, I kind of hesitate to give you a formula, but this is what I see in it. Three steps to receiving the Spirit that we're all looking for. The first is to surrender. The second is to ask. And the third is to obey. Okay, so the first is to surrender. Before we can ask for help, we have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to get desperate. Actually, we're all desperate and needy, but we just don't realize it because we're surrounded with all these other things that make us feel like we got it together, right? I was desperate that day sitting in the church. I was like, I can't take this anymore. We have to get to that place of desperation. Author Tony Robbins, who I never quote, but he has this amazing quote. He says, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. We have to humble ourselves. If we really want the power of the Spirit, we're going to have to surrender to the way he wants to give us the power. We have to accept the fact that God is jealous. Hebrews 12 says that God is a consuming fire. When he comes into our life, he's not just going to rearrange the furniture. He's going to rearrange the whole house. I had this dream last night. I was in this massive house under renovation. And I kept like, wow, I was like, where is the end of this house? And I could never find the end of it. But it wasn't a scary thing. It was like every room I went to, I was like, oh, we could do this in here. We could do this in here. And all these ideas were coming to my head. God is in this never-ending process of transforming us more and more into his likeness. Now, this can freak us out so much so that we just don't want it. We're like, yeah, well, if you come in here, you're going to take things away I don't want you to take away. You're going to make me do things I don't want to do, and you're just plain going to be weird and mean. Jesus knew, he knew we were thinking that way. And so he said this in Luke 11. Jesus said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? See, everybody knows snakes are horrible. If your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, thanks Jesus, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says it even more broadly. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If you ask him to change you, he's going to do far more than you can imagine. But he wants us to trust him that it's going to be good. C.S. Lewis, the great author, once said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, none of which, by the way, are horrible in and of themselves. But we fool about too much with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. I love that. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. Only as we get this will we truly surrender. Surrender is a no-brainer when you realize the goodness of God. right? So we have to surrender. Secondly, we have to ask. We ask for help. We ask for the Spirit. We recognize we can't do this thing anymore. We can't, we're too discouraged, disillusioned, too disappointed, too many disses to do this life. We need help. Fill us with your Spirit. We have to ask. We just heard Jesus' promise to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, note there's nothing in there that says, and if you do this, you've been filled. If you feel warm and happy and fuzzy, you've been filled. It's not dependent on your feelings. It's dependent on the wee tiniest little bit of faith. Like, I'm going to give it a go. And he's like, that's enough. That's all I needed. I needed just this little crack to get through. If we honestly ask, we receive, period. So we surrender, we receive, and we obey. We enjoy his presence. We rest in his presence. And we do what he tells us. Not out of obligation, not to earn anything, but because he's been so good to us, how can I not help but want to live out what he's put in us, right? We use the strength he gives us. The New Testament letters, including, actually, there's some things in the Old Testament, too, about these gifts. But they list a variety of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. These are different gifts, spiritual gifts of the Spirit, and they're all equally important. We receive these gifts by faith and for the purpose of building up the faith of others. We're given these like tools to help us as we work with God building his kingdom. I thought about bringing up a whole bunch of tools today. I'm a carpenter, so I like carpentry tools. I don't have plumbing tools. But I thought about lining up the stage with all these tools and saying, come on up, pick up a saw or a sander or hammer, whatever. And then I thought, like, how ridiculous would it be if we were like, oh, sander? Like, it's ridiculous to think that we would, like, be so impressed with the tool. That's not the purpose. The purpose of the tools is to help us serve the kingdom. So we ask for the Holy Spirit, we obey, and we use whatever strength he's given us. Okay, so we do that initially, right? And then we do it, and then we get dry, and then what do? Well, we either give up, or we repeat. We surrender, we ask, we obey, repeat, surrender, ask, obey, over and over. So we're going to give you a chance to do that in a few minutes. But I want to finish with a dream found in the prophetic book of Zechariah. This is an example of what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. So around the year 600 BC, okay, this is a long time ago. Around the year 600 BC, the Babylonians conquered the Jewish people and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And they forced more or less all the Jews into Babylon. Around 50 years later, some of these Jews are invited to come back into Judah. So some of these Jewish people start coming back to Jerusalem under the rule or under the leadership of Nehemiah. And in 2 months, they rebuild the city rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. But rebuilding the temple was another story. They were harassed heavily by their enemies. Anyone here ever been harassed by your enemies? I'm not talking about your annoying neighbor, or I'm talking, have you been harassed by enemies of God? The people were harassed by their enemies. Ezra chapter 4, verse 4 says, the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build. People of Israel are trying to rebuild the temple, and they're harassed by their enemies, and they become so afraid, they stop. The project stalled. Some commentators say it stopped for 20 years. For two decades, nothing happened. Have you ever had a dream in your life stalled for a year or two or 20? You ever had something in your life, a promise that God had given you, and it just stops? So God raises up Zechariah and this guy Zerubbabel to get it done. He speaks through the prophet Zechariah to encourage the people to draw on God's strength. Then the angel who talked with me, this is Zechariah, returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. And he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it and seven channels to the lamps. Also, there were two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And I asked the Lord who talked with me, what are these, Lord? He answered, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? Again, I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? And he replied, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. All right, so now by now you're all like, what are we talking about? Lampstands, olive trees, what is going on here? Well, before electricity, light came from oil, from burning oil, right? And one of the most, you could say, boring, routine tasks of a priest was the constant management of the lamps in the temple. Constantly, they were in there pouring oil into these lamps so that the light wouldn't go out. That was their task. And in this dream, Zechariah sees these self-filling lamps that are fed directly to the olive trees. And because of that, the priests in this vision would no longer have to be personally responsible for filling the lamps. The lamps were going to be automatically, permanently connected to the source of the oil. From now on, God was going to be the direct source of fuel for these lamps. This dream, this picture that God gave Zechariah, was the exact encouragement that the people needed to overcome their fear and to rebuild the temple. By my spirit, he promised them. And by my spirit, he's promising us. Over and over in the scriptures, oil is used to represent the spirit, right? Oil does a lot of things. Oil reduces friction between cooperating parts in the same way that the spirit reduces the friction among us when we have no business getting along, a lot of us as Christians. We're too different, but the Spirit enables us to work together. Oil provides light when it's burned in the same way that the Spirit brings light into darkness. Oil heals. In ancient times especially, it was used as a medicine, similar to how the Holy Spirit empowers us to be healed and to heal. Oil warms us like with a fire. In the same way that the Spirit of God warms us and comforts us. Oil beautifies us. Women put oil on themselves. I mean, probably more like perfume. It makes us attractive. It makes us pleasant to be around. Oil polishes when it's used to shine metal, right? In the same way that the Holy Spirit comes to make us clean, to wipe away our dirt. I don't know many of you very well. I don't know what you're asking God to do in your life. I don't know what's missing or what's broken, but I know that whatever it is, it's not likely to be fixed by you just trying harder. I mean, the people of Israel, they tried. They worked really hard, and they couldn't get it done, and they said, forget it. And some of you are about at that place in your marriage, your work, your ministry, a relationship. It's just too much bother. Now, you know, grit is important. Sticking with something is important. But God's grit is way better. Our power is good. God's power is a million bazillion times better. Maybe you don't even know where to start. Maybe you're looking for answers. Maybe you don't even know the question to ask God in some messy situation in your life. But God alone has the answers. He's the only one who can supply what you're looking for. In the same way that the Jews' enemies discouraged them and made them very afraid, the purpose was to distract them from their destiny. And I believe that's true of somebody here today. We all have very real enemies that are seeking to distract us from God's purposes. And if we're not careful, they win. But you know, God is, he's way more than enough. All he's asking us to do is look his direction, and he can speak truth to us. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way we're going to be permanently filled. I was thinking this morning, driving here in my car, which my new car has the, it shows you how many miles left you can go before you run out of gas. I can go 17 more miles before I run out of gas. And then I was thinking, what would it be like to drive a car that never ran out of gas? What would it be like to never run out of gas in your life, to have an endless reservoir of fuel? Jesus used this parable too. I mean, this way of talking too. He talked about the woman at the well. He was like, I have water for, this woman was coming for water every day. It was all she did, right? And what does Jesus tell her? If you believe in me, you will have rivers of living water. You'll never run out. So what I'd like to do now, I'd like to get ministry team up here. Elders, can you all just come up here? Make it easy for people. And we have these little bottles of oil, which there's nothing like magical about the oil itself. But this oil is an expression of the Holy Spirit. We just talked about examples of that. And so I would like to have the chance for us to anoint any and all of you with oil You can come up and you can either put your hands out like that. If you don't put your hands out, we'll put a little drop on your forehead. And all that's meant to do, that in and of itself is an act of surrender and asking. That is an expression of, Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you in my life. I'm asking for your power to fill me and transform me so that I can be a resource to this world. So we're gonna have a time of sort of like soaking in this music, but this is not gonna be like some extended praying over each person for 2 minutes. And we're doing that specifically so we can anoint all of you. But if you don't wanna come forward, don't come forward. I'm just telling you, it's the opportunity for you. So I'm gonna pray, and then you're invited to come forward. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power to fill us for more than we could ever imagine. And we ask, God, that you would right now honor this simple act of faith on our part to humble ourselves and to invite you to fill us, to do anything you want in and through us today. If you agree with that prayer, come forward and allow us to anoint you with oil. And JJ will close the sermon, or close the service in a few minutes.